That was funny.
You know, I thought they were going to play, and you know this, Momo.
Where'd Mace
go? We do these looky promos every day.
All right,
day
Mace in an Ireland show. Ramona Shelburne.
No, I'm here.
John Ireland. Steve Mason was here. Linz, do you know where he went?
Oh, I'm here.
Working on that? No.
Oh, you're here. Okay, good.
Yeah, there we are. I don't know what happened. I'm always amazed by the technical wonders of this thing, and we're able to put it together and get it on. By the way, I was just saying, so he played that clip from the Lookie promo.
That was
we
so
call these
funny.
Lookie promos. They're coming up today at 1. Yesterday, I must have had at least 5 takes of the Lookie promo, and I thought what Morales was going to do is he was going to take one of my stupid takes where I cuss at the end of it because I screwed the whole thing up. I thought that's what he was going to do. But yes, I am doing the politician thing, trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Momo, I love you. When you are here, you are my absolute favorite co-host.
You say that to all your co-hosts, don't you?
So a couple of things right at the top. First of all, Santa Key is coming to town, stuffing your stocking with all kinds of Laker stuff and collectibles. Keep listening for the sound of Santa Key coming down your chimney. Once you hear it, be calling number 7-877-710-ESPN. Got a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, me, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Kaplan, playoff. Sliwa. I almost said playoff P.
Playoff
Sliwa. You win Lakers stuff, collectibles, 710 ESPN, your home of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. So, Momo, one thing from yesterday's show, we talked to Dennis Schroeder yesterday from the Los Angeles Lakers, the brand new point guard acquired from OKC. And one of the things I thought was interesting is that he feels like and said openly that he expects to start for this Lakers team. Follow me here, Jorge. This is Dennis Schroeder at his Lakers presser. He wants to start.
I did this off the bench stuff already, you know, 2 years with OKC. I think I try to move forward, you know, and I think with AD and LeBron, you know, I can be helpful, I think, as a starter.
Okay, and one more time, this is from our interview with Dennis Schroeder yesterday on the idea of starting.
I didn't talk to them yet about that situation, but I think my agent made it very clear. But I think, like I said, to come here to this organization and just, you know, like the biggest platform you can get, I think just being a part of it is going to be great.
So, Momo. He says his agent made it very clear to the Lakers. Put on your NBA reporter hat here. What is he saying there?
Yeah, I want to start.
but I mean, is that a conversation that normally would be had between an organization and an agent?
Yeah, it would. I think, like, Isaiah Thomas, remember when the Lakers traded for Isaiah Thomas?
Yes.
And there was, like, you know, he was Isaiah Thomas, playoff hero from Boston. And yes, he was coming off a severe hip injury. Yes, he had not as great of a run in Cleveland, but he thought of himself as a starter. And, you know, when he was traded here, it was a point of contention. I remember his agent, I think texted Rachel Nichols right as she was on the air talking about it, saying he wanted to start. And It's only a problem if he doesn't start and he's not happy about it, right?
Right.
If he gets to camp and Frank Vogel and all of them, you know, go over what his role will be. Hey, look, maybe you're going to come off the bench, but you're still going to play starters minutes.
Yep.
It'll be fine. He has to have the right attitude about it. But maybe he just wants to start. Maybe that's just a really important thing for him. And so we have our first little mini drama of the Lakers season, which is, you know, how is Schroeder into this? Like, is he into being the self-sacrificing, our main goal is to win a championship and we'll do whatever it takes to win? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and when we say mini drama, it's a mini drama. It's a mini drama. But if I
something
was to sketch out, if I was to sketch out the Lakers starting lineup, it would not include Dennis Schroeder. It would the way I look at it is it's LeBron, it's KCP, it's Wes Matthews, it's AD, and it's Marc Gasol. That's my starting lineup with Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and Alex Caruso and Markieff Morris coming off the bench.
And Kuz, right?
Oh, and Kuz.
Yeah.
You know, I always forget about Kuz.
Yeah.
What is it with social media and Kuz? Man, they just kill Kuz on there.
You know what I think it is? I think when he dipped his foot in the celebrity pool, like it kind of turned on him. You know, once you get in, it's a different, I only experienced this once when I, do you remember when the wife of the Warriors, like got, there was a photo of her and it looked like she was giving, it looked like Beyonce was giving her like stink eye. Do you remember that at the finals? And it was like, and it was like just a bad photo or something. And it was because, you know, the Beehive was basically all over the Warriors owner's wife, right?
The Beehive. Beehive don't scare me, by the way. I've gone openly against the Beehive, and they always say they're going to sting, and they never do.
Well, I hope that they never get you, Steve.
Do you think I can get gotten by the Beehive today? How can I get gotten by the Beehive?
If you really poke the hornet's nest, right? If you really poke the Beehive, if you really do it.
Yeah.
But you have to get aggregated. Somebody has to write a story about you saying something.
I'm not aggregatable.
Yeah, you'd have to say something really bad. You have to say
really out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think what it is like, Kuz got caught up a little bit in the Hollywood social media press, and like, there's different NBA Twitter is different than like entertainment Twitter and like celebrity Twitter, right? Like the people who follow the Kardashians and the Jenners and all that, like
that crowd, right?
That they can be really mean, you know, like any little photo of you that, you know, is not great, right? Or any, if you get caught up in some of the drama or the, I think that's what happened to Kuz. I think he got into that stuff.
And he just got picked apart.
Yeah, but I think he's fine.
I think he's fine.
He's a grown man.
I'm not worried. At one point, didn't he delete his Twitter account? Now, when you delete your Twitter account, does it come right back as soon as you undelete it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Did he delete his Twitter account?
I think
he
deactivated still tweets.
Yeah, you can deactivate
it.
He deactivated it for a week.
Yeah, deactivated. He didn't delete it. He deactivated it. So when he came back, I think all of his followers were still there.
I have a lot more sympathy for players than most people. You know, a lot of people will like make fun of players, you know, if it seems like social media is getting to them. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
Kevin Durant, I can make fun of Kevin Durant.
You can make fun of him. I agree with you. But I'm just telling you, as somebody who's been caught in some of that, like, I've only experienced like 1/100th of what somebody like Kuz or Kevin Durant or Dwight Howard or whatever.
Yep.
And it's awful. It's like, I mean, you've been caught up in some of my internet threads.
Ooh. I've been caught up on some of your tweets when I happen to be linked in, and man, they crushed you.
Yeah.
They crushed you. What a terrible experience that's got to be. What percentage of your tweets do you get crushed on?
I mean, it's probably only like 10 or 20%. Most of it is just, you know, generic. But the 10 or why is it about humans that's the 10 or 20% we remember? I don't know. You know,
it's because we're sensitive. We all have feelings. Doesn't matter how long you do this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that I don't get bothered by stuff on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, but nobody really comes after you.
I get hate stuff on Twitter, and you don't know anything, and what are you talking out of your ass, and all that kind of stuff. Mm. I get that stuff on Twitter, but I scroll right by it. I don't need it. And the last thing I'm going to do is engage. I'm not trollable. I will not be trolled. I will not be trolled.
Well,
so stop trying.
People troll me, and I just Mutombo everybody.
Oh, do you? Good for you.
I just straight up Mutombo it. I just block party. Bye.
Okay. I'm not a blocker. I don't block anybody, Momo.
Oh, I block.
I haven't blocked a single person.
It, you know, I get in moods too where I'm just like block, 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 blah. It's really.
I say, bring it on. Bring it on. All right. So 877-710-ESPN. We'll take your calls throughout the show. Is this a thing? Dennis Schroeder expecting to start when there's been no official announcement, and when necessarily it doesn't necessarily make sense if you look at the pieces that the Lakers have got. So we'll get to that. On top of that, Giannis has spoken in Greek. He did an interview with a Greek sports network. So I'll bring you the nugget of what he said. Said something fascinating. And we'll let you know that at the bottom of the hour at 1:30, Lindsay Theory is going to be with us with the Rams Notebook. We'll talk about some Jared Goff. And then at 1:40 today, at 1:40, who would be your phone-a-friend if you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Think about that, Momo. Think about that. Mason, Ireland, thanks a lot for being out there. We appreciate you listening every day. This is 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, you know, we all know somebody who has been affected by cancer. Maybe you have been affected by cancer yourself. And that's why Day of Giving, V-Week going on right now. I know economic times are hard. There are a lot of people out of work, and things are tight, especially during the holidays. But if you can make a donation, even if it's $5, go to v.org/donate. Definitely do that. So, Momo, this is interesting. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. This is interesting. So, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who we are waiting to see whether or not he's going to sign his Supermax contract, which I think guarantees him $238 million, give or take, over a five-year period. Yeah, who's arguing over nickels and dimes at that point?
Yep.
But today, he did an interview with, and I'm pretty sure this is a Greek television network. Do you think I've got that right?
I think that's right. Cosmo.
Yeah, a Greek television network. And said some fascinating stuff, including that if he wants to team up with LeBron, AD, or KD, they can do it in Milwaukee. Now, that suggests that he is going to sign his Supermax, and if he's going to play with other stars, they've got to go play with him there. Do you interpret that another way?
Well, he also, the rest of that quote was, I don't care who's number one, number two, or number three. I just want to win, right? So that was the part I actually thought was interesting. I don't care who's number one or number two or number three, because like he has always been the number one option on his team, right?
Sure.
If he came to the Lakers or if he came someplace else, he would be probably, I don't know, with AD and LeBron, he might be three.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that with Giannis, it's like, that was an interesting stat. I've always seen him as this like Kobe type guy who wants to prove he can do it on his own, who wants to prove he can win on his own. He was not the type who would join up. He didn't come up through AAU basketball with like four stars on his team. He doesn't seem like he works out with everybody else. He's close with his four, I think he has three brothers. So there's four of them total, four Antetokounmpo brothers total. He's really close with his family. But I've never seen him as like a guy who would like team up as a super team guy. Right
now, why is that? Why do you not see him as a super team guy?
Yeah, I've always just seen him as a Kobe type, like Kobe post Shaq, right? Post Shaq Kobe, where he has co-stars, but he's the alpha. He's right. The guy. He doesn't want to join anybody else's team. He wants to win on his own. He wants to prove he can win, you know, by himself with his team.
So again, the quote is, if LeBron, KD, or AD want to join me in Milwaukee, I will be happy. I don't care about being number one or number two or number three. The interview goes on, but that's specifically, I think, something we can tie to this idea of the Supermax. And why is this important if you're a Lakers fan? It's important if you're a Lakers fan, and this is why, actually, I think we've got Brian Windhorst here talking about this dynamic with AD and the new contract, the extension he's going to get with the Lakers. You find that there, George?
Yeah, how about the two biggest storylines of the NBA offseason? That's Anthony Davis and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anthony Davis has not signed his contract yet. Training camp starts tomorrow, and it's led people in the league to wonder if he is waiting to see what Giannis does with his contract. The reason this is interesting, Hannah, is that the Lakers only have two contracts on their books for next year at just $15 million because LeBron James has an opt-out clause in his contract. And if Anthony Davis builds his new contract with an opt-out clause, they could have anything on the table. They could go chasing after free agents, whether it's Giannis or not. So definitely keep an eye on that. He's running out of time to sign him.
So the reason it's important, and you could put a finer point on this, but this is my general understanding, is that if Anthony Davis were to sign a one-year deal, so he and LeBron would both expire after this season, that then, conceivably, the Lakers could sign Giannis and use their bird rights for AD and LeBron to go over the cap, right? That's sort of the gist of this thing.
Well, the idea is they both have player options. If AD would do a one-on-one, he would have a player option, same as LeBron. After this coming season, right? So in 2021, he had a player option on the 21-22 season.
Yes, it's gotten very confusing, by the way, the numbers, the years on these seasons.
It's hard. So
we should just call this upcoming one the 2021 season.
Okay, sounds good.
Makes it 21. Easier.
Yeah, yeah. We basically start. You know. So the idea would be the Lakers have, you know, as much flexibility as they possibly can by, you know, if both of them have a player option. Now, I saw, I think Mark Stein and Brad Turner reported last night that AD is meeting with the Lakers today to talk about, you know, how long his extension is, you know, he wants to do, how long a contract he's interested in, what their best options are. I can tell you this, my information on this was he was going to take his time, get through Thanksgiving, let the Lakers do what they're going to do, and then they're going to sit down and talk about, you know, what he wants to do and how long. I checked in yesterday. It's not like he's waiting because he has some issues with the Lakers or anything. There's a reason he waited, but
yeah.
I think they're talking today. I think we could see, they're supposed to open camp basically this week. So I don't think he's going to miss any time with it. You know, he's not under contract, right? He's not under contract right now. He's technically a free agent, but I think that gets done this week. And then he's in camp next week when the Lakers start up. But the only question is for how long. And I think what a lot of teams that have been theoretically part of the Giannis, you know, are positioning themselves for 2020, the summer of next, you know.
Who are those teams? Isn't there
Miami, Dallas, Toronto? Those are the teams that you hear most, you know, that are positioning themselves to have money available.
Right.
To be a player for max free agents this coming offseason. So a lot of those teams have kind of hedged their bets. Like Miami did do the contract extension for Bam Adebayo, so they have some money on the books, obviously, between Bam and Jimmy. But I think the idea is, I think just in talking to people around the league, most people expect Giannis to sign the contract. Most people have this feeling.
Most people expect him to sign the Supermax with Milwaukee by December the 22nd.
Yeah, by the start of this year. And for a couple of reasons. One, you know, he had unfinished business in Milwaukee. It'd be really hard to go through this year and then just leave the Bucks high and dry without making a commitment based off of just how they did last year, how last season ended. It was a real disappointment, and the year before too. And I think he is the type that knows he needs to grow. Like when you watch him play, like he's not a fully formed player. Okay.
Right.
He's an MVP, two-time MVP and well-deserving, but he still needs to work on his outside shot. He needs to find other ways of creating. Like in a lot of ways, he has so much growth to do, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. And so I think if he signs a Supermax, like you can do it and kind of have an understanding if we're not happy with how things are going after a year or two, you know, let's work together to do a trade. Now, that's actually theoretically illegal as part of, you know, you're supposed to sign a contract meaning to fulfill that contract. You're not supposed to sign it and, you know, have a soft guarantee that, you know, they would trade you. But there's a way to do that and try to have an understanding with a team where you could feel kind of like Russell Westbrook did in Oklahoma City. I think there was an understanding if they changed directions, you know, they'd work with him to move him. And that's what happened last offseason. You know, even teams that are trying to preserve cap space have kind of closed up some of their cap space. Miami doing that extension was
Miami
a good tip
did
off.
The BAM extension. Yeah. Exactly.
So the idea, though, is there's closing up cap space, but then there's also Miami signing BAM to that contract extension is no problem. If they think they're going to get Giannis, they could move one of their big players. I mean, you wouldn't want to trade BAM out of bio, of course, but like he has a ton of value. Okay. So that's, there's contracts that you sign that you're going to have a hard time moving. And then there's contracts like that. And it's no problem. So I think the Lakers are really well positioned. It's just a question. We'll get a lot of information on what their thinking and plans are based on how long the contract Anthony Davis decides to sign is.
All right. Coming up next for you, our friend Lindsay Theory is going to join us. She will open the Rams notebook, and she asked Sean McVay a very direct question in his press availability yesterday. We'll talk to Lindsay about that. Don't miss Disney's new movie, Safety, inspired by the true story of Clemson football safety Ray McElrathby. Based on the inspirational story, Jay Reeves stars as McElrathby, a former Clemson University football safety whose love for football is challenged by his love for his family. It starts streaming exclusively on Disney Plus on December the 11th. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And Lindsay joins us now. Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good, man. Although the golf of it, the golf of it, Lindsay. On Sunday, I was really disappointed. Jared Goff threw the pick six, had a second interception, had a fumble where he dove instead of sliding. And I saw that you actually asked Coach McVay about this yesterday in his press availability. What did he say?
Well, basically, he said that he still trusts that quarterback Jared Goff is their guy. That obviously he's going to turn it around and fix some of these issues. And I obviously asked him, you know, about just kind of calling Jared out in the press conference, which is a very unusual move for Sean McVay. I know you guys were talking about it yesterday. Sean McVay very much so falls on the sword every time they lose. He takes the blame on himself. So this is a real kind of turn of events where he actually said our quarterback needs to take better care of the football. And Jared absolutely does. It's one of those kind of conundrums, right, where at times Jared Goff looks brilliant. He is so good. And then he turns in a game like against the Niners, and you just kind of leave shaking your head.
Well, was he worried at all about how Jared would receive it? Like, would that hurt his confidence? Would that make him, you know, question himself even more?
You know, I don't think he was. Sean's very in tune with his players and kind of the sensitivities of each player. Jared, for all the criticism he's received over the last several seasons, which has been a lot, probably in many cases more than he has deserved, but Jared has this kind of unflappable mentality where when you think of 2016 and his 7 winless starts as a rookie, he moved on from that the next season. In fact, one time he kind of snapped at us in the media room and said, you know, this is the only place where we talk about 2016. I've moved on from it. It's time you guys move on from it too. So Jared has this really great ability to kind of forget the problems and keep it moving.
Lindsay Theory is with us, ESPN Rams beat writer. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo's in for John. So, yeah, you said he's got this unflappable quality, except that I notice that the turnovers seem to come in bunches. Like, one turnover leads to a second, leads to a third. It seems like he starts to go downhill, almost like it's a composure thing. I saw him sitting at the end of the bench by himself with his Microsoft Surface looking at plays at the end of the first half, and I thought, uh-oh, he looks really dejected. You really do stick with the idea that he's unflappable.
Well, let me put that in context. Unflappable in the sense of he can go from game to game and appear to be a completely different quarterback. And I think we have seen some instances, right, when you think back of Buffalo this season, the first half was quite dreadful, and then he got it together there in the second half. But there do seem to be a lot of these instances also where, yeah, he looks very flappable. I mean, against the Dolphins, that was kind of a deer in headlights moment.
Yep.
Against the Niners, again, we started to see a bit more of that kind of look. So can't really use that as a blanket statement, but in a lot of cases he does bounce back. In several of these cases also, he doesn't. He just is lost and appears lost throughout the game.
How do his teammates react to this? Like, you know, do you sense any frustration amongst other players when he has games like this?
Yeah, you know, I will say that the Rams are really good about keeping any frustrations internal. There's been nothing that's leaked out so far. But on the other hand, you do have to kind of start wondering, right? When the defense is turning in the kind of performances that they are game in and game out, I mean, they scored a touchdown and they still lost to their rivals. Mm. That's when you kind of start wondering, you know, how much longer are these guys going to go performing like this without getting frustrated at their quarterback who's turned the ball over three times.
What is it? The Niners, are they just our toughest matchup, or do they just have our number? I mean, against the other teams in the division, I think Sean McVay is 11-3 against Seattle and Arizona combined. Is this just a bad matchup for the Rams? Should we expect two losses every year?
Yeah, he clearly has something that he has figured out when it comes to his friend Sean McVay. I mean, to win four games, and the thing about this last loss to the Niners is you have to remember the 49ers came in. They didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't have George Kittle. They didn't have one of their top receivers, Brandon Ayuk. Like, this is a very short-handed team, which I think adds a little bit of insult to injury to the Rams, just because they lost, is their first loss at home in SoFi Stadium, and then to lose to a 49ers team that had Nick Mullins starting at quarterback. So I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to pose problems for Sean McVay for years to come, given the last four times they played.
Hey, Lindsay, do you get the sense that the Rams think of themselves as the team that should win this division? Are they, you know, early on they ran up a bunch of wins with the NFC East. They've had a couple of nice wins. They've had a couple of bad losses. Are they overachieving here in their minds? Do they have it? Have they adopted that mentality yet?
You know, I think they go into each game expecting to win, but I don't know that they outright think that they should win the division. Mm-hmm. I think confidence and kind of the energy around the building definitely picked up after back-to-back wins over the Seahawks and over the Bucks. I think that really gave them the confidence, like, hey, we can go out and win the NFC West. Before that, I think it was just kind of more of a mentality, like, we're competitive and we want to win. But I think those two wins really gave them the belief that they could win it.
By the way, I saw the odds out of Vegas today, and the Rams are still, of NFC teams, the fourth best pick to win the Super Bowl. So they are still in this conversation very much so. Lindsay Theory, by the way, brought to you by Corona Extra. Our game day beach is back. Always enjoy the game with Corona Extra, an official cerveza of the Los Angeles Rams. So now I'm calling this game on Sunday, Get Shorty. That's what I'm calling the game, Get Shorty. They're going to face Kyler Murray. What problems does he present?
You know, he's really mobile. I mean, he's probably, well, there's always Russell Wilson, but next to Russell Wilson in the division, he's a very athletic quarterback. He can do a lot of things with the ball. But here's the thing with the Cardinals. The Rams have beat them. Sean McVay's beat them six times they've played. So, and last season, I know Kyler Murray was giving other teams some fits, including the 49ers, and the Rams really just haven't had a problem dealing with him. So I think this is kind of a get-right game for the Rams.
Hey, Lindsay.
Go ahead, Momo.
No, I'm just, you know, when they're out there right now, I know they just played the 49ers, who are sort of homeless. there's this sense that, you know, there's outbreaks that are that's sort of spreading around the league. Is there a sense the Rams may be in the same position in terms of what LA County does, you know, closing down contact practices, or are they starting to worry about that too? You know, when it happened in the spring, it was Northern California first and then Southern California second.
Yeah, there is in the back of their minds, right? I mean, players are asked constantly about COVID, and they say it's always kind of in the back of their minds, and things can kind of change change on a dime. But it doesn't seem like right now. I mean, the Rams had clearance from the – well, keep in mind, the Rams practice in Ventura County.
Okay.
The Rams also had clearance from L.A. County, obviously, to hold their games in Inglewood. So, one, they're kind of split between counties in those guidelines, but also they had clearance from the county to hold those games. So it would be a little bit surprising unless we go under the strictest stay-at-home orders possible if the county came back and ended up shutting down games at SoFi Stadium.
So, Lindsay, you would be proud of me. You know, we do the show from home, and this is the first day, the first day that I'm actually doing the show in my pajamas, actual pajamas. Normally, I've been wearing shorts or sweatpants. Today, I rolled out of bed. I said, hell, I'm just going to do this in my jammies.
Do it.
Do you have that opportunity when you're doing your Zoom press conferences and all that stuff?
You know, I don't do it in my jammies, babe, but I will say that, like, you know, I will get up and, like, put on my workout clothes. And
yep.
Normally, I would never go to the team facility without, like, a full face of makeup.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Makeup on and my hair very much brushed. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I got on Zoom once in a while in my workout clothes with no makeup on and my hair up in a ponytail. And I'm just not ashamed of it. At first, I was like, oh, this is a good look. But you know what? You got a little bit of life, too. So there's days when you can't get out of your jammies. I don't think anyone's going to judge me.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Hey, Lindsay, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
All right. There's Lindsay Theory. Next week after a win over Arizona.
You feeling it? I like that.
Let's get this thing straight. Let's get this ship straight. Coming up next for you. If you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, who would your phone-a-friend be? Who would your phone-a-friend be? Momo, think about that. We'll get back to that next. Top of the hour, the Goff of it all. We will discuss the ups and the downs, and lately the downs of Jared Goff. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, seriously, in my jammies today, Momo.
Yeah.
Why not?
Hey, are
who
you?
Who cares?
Is the light on?
The light is on.
Okay, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm totally good.
I mean,
totally
Greg Bergman, for the first, like, 3 months of like, the quarantine time, he used to, like, produce the show sitting in his apartment with the light off, like, laying in bed.
Really?
I was like, that's dark.
That's unprofessional.
That's
where I draw it. Doing the show in your jammies? Yes. Doing
Fine.
The show from bed in the dark?
In that's the dark.
Just unprofessional.
Well, yeah. I would be afraid I would fall asleep, honestly. If I'm those conditions, like dark and laying in bed, it might happen. Have you ever fallen asleep while you're talking to someone on the phone?
Never.
I have.
I don't talk to people on the phone. Don't call me.
You're right. You don't.
I really don't.
You definitely don't.
Like, Momo, if I see your number pop up, I think about it. But still, if it's after 6 o'clock, I don't take phone calls.
There's has nothing to do with 6 o'clock. You just
by
don't.
The way, after Lindsay will tell you, after 6 o'clock, I don't answer text messages either.
Nope, he doesn't. He just disappears.
What happens to you at 6 o'clock?
He turns into a pumpkin.
You know what? I just don't need it all day long. I don't need it all
That's
night
great.
Long.
Pura Yesca!
And
hey!
And the Pura Yesca. All right. So most people have seen this now, but I think it's interesting. So a chef by the name of
David Chang.
David Chang was on the Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it came time for him to have to phone a friend for help, and he phoned Mina Kimes. Who is definitely unbelievably smart. She went to Harvard or Yale or one of those schools. Was it Yale?
Yeah.
They all blend together for me. Mm-hmm. Harvard, Yale. So this is what that sounded like when David called Mina.
All right, Mina. Although he and his wife never touched a light switch for fear of being shocked, who was the first president to have electricity in the White House? Ulysses S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Chester A. Arthur, or Andrew Johnson?
That would be the 1800s. I think it's probably Harrison.
Ooh. So probably Harrison. Now, what does David do? Oh. Does he follow his gut or does he go with Mina? Hit it.
I'm going to go final answer. B, Benjamin Harrison. Final answer. God, no.
Well, you're no Norm MacDonald. And I'm no Regis. We all know that. God, I wish I was. But David Chang, your metallic testicles. Just won you $1 million for your charity.
Woo! Yeah. Now, who would have gotten that right? Who would have known the first president to have electricity? Would you, Momo? You went to Cal, so you're very smart.
No way. I mean, maybe if I went to Stanford, I would have got it. But
yeah, maybe. Lynn's, would you have had any idea?
I would
have
never got that.
Absolutely not. No way.
I had no chance. In fact, I'm so bad, my guess would have been FDR. Now, I didn't have the advantage.
Well, that wasn't one of the choices.
I didn't get it. I was asked this earlier, and I was just not given the multiple choice situation. But I think Mina is a great person to call. She is not on my Rolodex. She would not be available to me. So if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, my phone-a-friend would be, it would probably be, it's either Momo, you or John Ireland.
Really?
I think it's either you or John Ireland or presidential historian John Meacham. It's one of those three.
Okay, so one of my big questions with the phone-a-friend thing is,
yes,
how do they know, like, exactly that person is going to be there when they pick up, right? Like, they probably know, okay, hey, I'm taping, you're my phone-a-friend, be available between this time and this time on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
I think five people. Maybe three.
Oh, you get a list of five people, so you can pick the right one based on what it is.
By the type of question. Okay, so I have a few. Mina's a really good choice. You know why she's really good? She does the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of her things. So anybody who does, like, crossword puzzles is really good at this kind of stuff because they have to do recall versus recognition. Do you know that? You know what I mean? Recall is much harder than recognition. Choosing one out of four is not as hard. You can recognize the answer. But to have to come up with it on your own is really hard. So people who do crosswords are definitely up there in terms – for me, it's very easy. I would call my brother.
My brother Marshall.
Yeah, my brother was on Jeopardy. And he is like a trivia guy. He goes on, he's been on a couple of different shows. What was the other one he was on? I can't remember now. But he hosts trivia nights. All he does on the family Zoom call every week is like give us trivia questions. So he's perfect for this, right? He's almost like cheating. But I'd also think about calling my Aunt Gilda because she is a reader and she's really, really good. So if the question was like an English question or about a book or something, she actually did go to Cal. Okay. She really actually did. Or my Uncle Phil, they both went to Cal. Okay. And my brother would have all the trivia know-how, but my Aunt Gilda would know like books and things like that. If it was a straight up pop culture question, I might call my Uncle David. You know my Uncle Phil. He's my ringer in all my fantasies.
What about me? If it was straight up pop culture, that's my area.
Oh, if it was like a movie question, yeah, maybe okay. But
I literally my major at Bowling Green State University was pop culture.
Yeah.
Real degree. It's an actual degree. Don't make fun of me.
My Uncle David literally has the same degree from Grinnell and wrote books called Imponderables. Do you know those ones? That's like,
no.
Why do zebras have stripes? And fish sleep?
Well, he sounds
smarter wrote all
than me.
Those books. No, it's not smart. It's like literally loves this stuff. So I have like very good phone-a-friend options that would probably be better than me at trivia. Like I'm not that great at trivia.
Linz, who would your phone-a-friend be?
Well, you know, Mace and I had this conversation during our prep call, and he was sounded pretty devastated when I said, I think I might call John.
I was devastated.
Really?
But I know. And I said, well, your game history, we do a lot of trivia. I feel like John is like a Jeopardy guy. Mace is like, oh, no, I'm a Jeopardy guy. So I would probably have both of you guys on my list. And then depending on what the question was, like if it was anything like NBA related, of course, I would ask John. And anything history, I'd probably ask John. Like this particular question, I think I'd ask him.
You'd ask John on this question.
Yeah.
Jorge, do you have a friend that you would phone?
I think I would pick LZ. That's another guy I'm talking about. LZ, I think, would be great at this as well. I would phone LZ.
That is a great one. That is a great one. Yeah, LZ probably knows this. Cole. Probably knows it cold.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I would be flattered if you wanted to call me Mace, but I don't think you should. I don't think I'm very good at this.
Yeah,
trivia
see, I don't
hard.
Think our I don't think our game playing equivalates what we equivalates.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Is that equivalent?
No, it's not quite. But we
what,
you know,
what is the word I'm looking for? Not equivalent.
Equals, you know, is the
equivocate.
Equivalent. No,
yeah,
is the equivalent.
Yeah. People understood Mace. It's all good.
Equivalent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we know what you meant.
Why retrace over my bad vocabulary? No, but our game playing is not the equivalent of knowing stuff. Like I'm pretty good on Jeopardy. The first part, the second part lost. The first half really good. Now here's the greatest scam I ever ran.
Okay,
this was at my fraternity house, Sigma Phi Epsilon at Bowling Green State University, and Jeopardy was on in the morning. It was on in the morning at 10
mm-hmm.
o'clock.
Okay.
And I would watch that, and I would get familiar with the questions and the answers. Then the same episode would re-air at 7 p.m.
Oh.
And I would go to the TV lounge with all my fraternity brothers and get all these questions right. Henry the Fourth. Who is Henry the Fourth?
And they're like, damn.
Damn, you're smart, Mason. I finally let the cat out of the bag, but I had a good couple of weeks there.
That's amazing. Well, I'll say this. I don't think trivia is necessarily it doesn't mean you're smart. Yeah, it just means that you know a lot of facts. You have to be pretty smart to be able to be good at it. But I don't think it's like the same as what is your IQ?
What is your IQ?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been tested that way.
No, I don't think I have either. I think it's pretty high, though. I'm pretty sure mine is really high. Super high.
Super high.
That's how you know my IQ is high, because I call it super high.
Super high. That's
which,
funny.
By the way, describes much of my life. All right, coming up next for you, we'll talk about the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs of Jared Goff. Andrew Siciliano will join us from NFL Network. We'll get his take coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.